Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're beginning a brand new series of studies on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. It's such a blessing. Today, we're looking at the Spirit and the Word of God. I know you'll be blessed. So welcome and welcome to the team. Good to be together again, isn't it? Amen. And I'm excited about this series because the Holy Spirit has such an important role in leading us to truth, leading us to Jesus, and empowering us to be witnesses for Jesus. So it's going to be a great study together. And we're glad to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. We get emails from all around the world. We're always happy to hear from you. In fact, we forward the emails to our team, our media team, so that we can be blessed to see how the Holy Spirit is bringing the word to people's hearts. Here's a note from Rose in Florida in the United States of America. Thanks for writing, Rose. She says, "My grandchildren and I live in the Jacksonville, Florida area. I started listening to Hope Sabbath School about a year ago as a former church member, and God used Hope Sabbath School to bring me back to Him."
Amen.
Isn't that precious? That's enough right there, isn't it, for what we do in sharing the Word of God. But she said, "I started taking my grandchildren to church and still listen to Hope Sabbath School on Friday evening. I was sick one week, couldn't go to church. I thought how many children could be brought to Jesus with a children's version of Hope Sabbath School. Hope is in Jesus, even for children. What do you think?"
Amen.
Well, that's powerful. "Please let me know," she says, "how I can help. Thank you, Jesus, for using Hope Sabbath School to remind me of your loving kindness and desire still for me to be in your fold of safety." Isn't that awesome? Well, Rose, thank you for writing to us from Florida. And we will certainly pray about a Hope Sabbath School for children. I know it's important for the little ones to know Jesus. Rawlings writes from Malawi in the heart of Africa and says, "It is an inspiration to be a part of Hope Sabbath School. I am blessed watching and listening to this program. Keep it up." Well, thanks for writing to us, Rawlings, from the beautiful country of Malawi. And on the same great continent of Africa, Humphrey writes from Zambia. Thanks for writing to us. "I would love to thank the Almighty God for Hope Sabbath School. It's been a couple of years now since I started watching Hope Sabbath School. However," I like this, "being a Sabbath School teacher, I must admit that it's only recently that I adopted your format for teaching. And permit me to confirm," says Humphrey, "it's working really well." Is that awesome? You know, you can download the outline that we use on Hope Sabbath School from our Hope Sabbath School website, sshope@hopetv.org. You can download the outline. Probably Humphrey's doing that. Study it yourself. Download the outline and use it for an in-depth, interactive study. We're excited to hear from Humphrey. Indeed, he says Hope Sabbath School is an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. God bless you in all you do. Thanks for writing to us and for inspiring teachers around the world to not have a monologue, but a dialogue, interactive. One last note from Jemuel. This just came in from Saudi Arabia. Jem is his abbreviated name. Jem is a nurse from the Philippines working in Saudi Arabia. And he says, "Since bringing spiritual books like the Bible and gathering for worship are not allowed here, watching Hope Sabbath School is a lifeline for me. I study the lesson from the app every evening and on Sabbaths, and I play the video. Thank you. Through that, I'm able to be blessed by Hope Sabbath School." Amen?
Amen?
Well, anywhere in the world, and I don't know where you're watching Hope Sabbath School. Maybe you're watching on your smartphone, your tablet, or watching on a free-to-air channel in your country. Write to us. Let us know how the Word of God is blessing your life. We've got a scripture song that we're going to learn for the theme of the Holy Spirit and spirituality, taken from Galatians 5, 22-23, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." If you've always wanted to memorize that list but found it a little confusing, a scripture song is the best way. You can download this MP3 file and the sheet music from our website, sshope@hopetv.org. Learn to sing it with us and let's hide that word in our hearts. Let's sing it right now.
And self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
They say, Derek, do you know the fruit of the Spirit? I have to go, the fruit of the Spirit is love. There's something about memorizing a scripture song that can help you to hide that in your heart. And we don't just want to talk about the Spirit's work. We want to experience the Spirit's work, right? In our hearts and through us to bless lives. And today we're talking about a vital topic, the Spirit and the Word of God. And how the Spirit is so active in revealing the truth about God to the human family. So let's pray together. In the name of Jesus, we pray, our Father in heaven, for a special revelation. And when would it be more appropriate than now to say, Holy Spirit, please be our teacher.
Yes.
Please guide us, lead us into truth as Jesus promised. And I pray that we would understand the precious gift that you bring to us in the Word of God. May lives be blessed today. Hope Sabbath School members all around the world, perhaps joining for the first time today, may there be a revelation that will change hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited to begin our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're beginning by looking at the Holy Spirit and revelation. And Jonathan, would you like to begin our study with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17? For some who are Christians, this may be a very familiar text, but some may be hearing it for the first time, and it's a remarkable revelation to us.
All right, I'll be reading from the New International Version. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Now, God breathed, we're going to come back to that when we talk about inspiration. The Holy Spirit is involved in it, but it's more than just human words about God, right? What were some of the things that were important about Scripture according to the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy? Gary?
Doctrine
or Bible teaching, right? What else?
Correction.
Like, hey, you're heading on the wrong path and the Word of God can turn you back. Yes?
Instruction.
Instruction in righteousness. People say, I want to live for God. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, His Word is a lamp to our feet, right?
Yes.
A light to our path. Let's look in 2 Peter now, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And Brittany, if you take us there, we're looking at the Holy Spirit and a revelation of God's truth.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Now, when you hear the word prophecy, you most naturally think of what, Kyle? Prophecy.
You think of predicting the future.
Is that included in the word prophecy?
Yes, definitely.
But what else is included besides predicting the future?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if all Scripture is God-breathed, then all Scripture comes from the Holy Spirit. So prophecy being not something that I came up with myself, but it came from God, everything.
Okay, came from God, Tricia Lee?
Speaking on behalf of God.
Yeah, right, even about something in the present, right?
Right, right.
He may say this kingdom and then that kingdom, and we're going to look at Daniel 2 right now. That's awesome, because God says, I'm God, Isaiah's prophet, no one like me, knowing the end from the beginning. That's awesome. Predicting the future, but also speaking for God today. Mm-hmm. Jason?
Prophecy can also include the past, understanding history and how God has led. So you've got past, present, and future.
So like Tricia Lee, speaking a word for God, even about the meaning of something that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Let's go to Daniel 2, because Daniel was given this prophetic message. And maybe helping us to understand the past, the present, and the future. And Stephanie, Daniel chapter 2, we most typically think of a vision of a huge metal man. But we're going to go before that, when a death decree has gone out to kill all of the wise men, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what happens in verses 19 through 23?
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So what was the secret that was revealed to him? Mm. Anybody remember?
The meaning of the king's demand.
It was both the vision
and the interpretation.
And the interpretation. Now, I love the faith of Daniel, because he actually has no idea that he has the right vision and the right interpretation, right, except that God has given it to him. Right,
right, right.
So he's walking by faith. Later, he'll go into the king who wants to kill everybody, because they could make up an interpretation, but they don't know what the dream is. Right. But he walks in saying, I have the answer from God. He has no idea that as he begins to speak, the king will go, that's it. That's it. What does it mean? Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, here's Daniel. I mean, he is one of the wise men of the area, or he's studying to be. Yep. And just how much in our world people look for this wisdom, these hidden things. And like, it's something that we all look for. And here he's saying that truly it is God, the only one that can. I mean, all the other wise men of those times, they were into soothsaying and all these other things. But he's saying, no, the true wisdom, true insight can only come from the Holy Spirit and God's revealing.
Right, right. Now, why is it important to as we come to the Bible, to realize that this is actually a revelation from God and not just human words about God? I mean, sometimes people write human things about God and they're very inspiring, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, oh, that's really nice. I enjoy that. Why is it important to know that these messages come from God by the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Brittany.
Well, if it was just human interpretation or ideas, then we could pick and choose what we wanted to accept or what we didn't want to accept and say, well, that sounds nice, that's good for you, but I think I like this other part, but I'm going to exclude that other part. So knowing that it comes from God shows us who the authority comes from.
And I'm thinking, Jonathan, of the text that you read at the very beginning. What was the first word?
All.
Oh, that's right. So that process of Scripture being given, and the communities involved with that, recognizing that this prophet is a person of God, and that God is speaking through this person, and they say, we want to listen to that, and not be selective. Well, I like that, but I don't want to listen to that. because it's all given by inspiration of God. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think it's so tempting for us as humans to elevate our own reason, to stand up like, oh, I can think, this doesn't make sense to me, so obviously, I mean, it's important to use our reason, but when we start putting it above Scripture, you know something's wrong. We're in the wrong place.
So we do use our brain, back to what Jason said about God may help us to understand the past and the present as well as the future, but we're subjecting our mental capacities to the authority of God's revelation to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, knowing it that it's from God helps me to realize it's dependable, because human beings aren't. I can trust the Word of God to be true.
Well, let's go on and talk about how that process happens. Of the first text that Jonathan read, all Scripture is God-breathed, I think, was your translation. Mine says, is given by inspiration of God. Let's talk about how that works. Does the Holy Spirit give a word-for-word message to a prophet, which is then written down, or does the Holy Spirit inspire the mind of the prophet, and the prophet puts the revelation in his or her own words? And you say, I don't know, is there a multiple choice here? Well, let's look at a few Bible texts, shall we? Does someone have Deuteronomy? Jamie Jean, thank you. Chapter 18 and verse 18.
The New Living Translation says, I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything that I command him.
That sounds pretty specific, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes. I will put my words in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Let's look at a fulfillment of that in Jeremiah chapter 1, Joshua, verses 4 through 9. A young man named Jeremiah who says, well, I'm not really old enough to do this. Let's hear the story starting in verse 4 of Jeremiah 1.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
Mm. What do you think of that?
Wow.
Beautiful.
Kyle, you said beautiful. What is it about that impacts you?
Well, I have to say, you know, this text is so meaningful to me. I mean, I know we're talking about inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I just have to say that where God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, you know, no matter what our calling is, we're not all called to be prophets like Jeremiah.
Right.
But God has known all of us before we were born.
Amen. Yes.
And I just, that encourages me so much. But then he goes on just to tell Jeremiah that I'm going to put my words in your mouth. You know, I'm going to make it happen for you.
By the way, that first part of the revelation where the Lord comes, is that specific? Is that specific? Or does he just have this general impression that God is calling him? Didn't you read word for word?
Yeah.
He gets this message from the Lord.
Yeah, it's specific.
Very specific,
yeah, it is.
Right?
It is, yeah.
And I have put your words, my words, mm-hmm. in your mouth. Now, how he's going to do that, we'll talk about in a minute. But it sounds like it's very active. Right. Agreed?
Absolutely.
Joshua?
And Jeremiah wasn't the only one in the Bible who struggled with this. Specifically, God used the Holy Spirit to speak through the prophets. Not only Jeremiah, who didn't think he could do it. Not only Isaiah, who didn't think he could do it. Not only Moses, who didn't think he could do it to the point where God had to hand it off to Aaron, but the Holy Spirit is the one whose power works in us to do the work
Amen.
Of the Lord.
That's powerful. Amen. By the way, who's the youngest prophet you can think of in the Bible?
Samuel?
Yeah.
Before Daniel, not age was younger than Daniel. He's sleeping and he heard the Lord call him.
Yes, Samuel.
He was just a little boy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's interesting that the Spirit of the Lord, it says that visions were rare in that time. Mm. If God can't speak to older people because they're not listening, he'll speak to children.
He will.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they have the courage to listen, like mm. little Samuel, who's mm-hmm. actually told to rebuke the nation and even the aged priest who's mm-hmm. sleeping. Mm-hmm. God can use anyone, and Amen. It's not based on how great we are, is it?
Yeah. No.
Let's look at another text. We're talking about how inspiration works. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. We normally think if we're going to find the words of David, we would go to the Psalms because he wrote many of them, right? But traditionally, we find some words of David in in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. How does that read?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue.
So if you just had those verses that we've just read, what conclusion would you come to about how inspiration works? Just from the verses that we've heard. What conclusion would you come to, Jason?
That it's the words of God directly through the person, and that there's nothing about the person themselves. They're simply just the instrument, and the words just flow through them.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit certainly enables the person to hear and to pass on that message. Okay. But let's go to Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I think we will be challenged to expand our understanding. Still, the Holy Spirit's at work. It is God-breathed, but let's take a look at Daisy, do you have Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4? Luke also inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it's a little different process. Let's see what it says.
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating amongst us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught.
Now, my Bible says a perfect investigation and a careful or orderly account. There's this sense of confidence that he's not just doing his best research,
right.
Mm-hmm. But that the Spirit of God is working in him and through him. By the way, who was Dr. Luke anyway? He wasn't one of the 12 disciples. Who was he?
He was a doctor.
He was a physician who traveled with
Paul.
The Apostle Paul, yeah. Right? Yes. Gets a little break. Many scholars think in the early 60s AD and writes a couple of books, one called Luke and the other called the Book of Acts, because it says he wrote that to Theophilus too. But what's happening here? How is the Holy Spirit guiding Luke to get a perfect account for his friend Theophilus?
So we almost see Luke like researching, pulling together pieces of information from different people, and God kind of guiding that process as he goes along and puts it together.
You know, some would be fairly obvious. I want to talk to Zacchaeus about when he climbed up the tree. That's in Luke 19, by the way. So I want to talk to, maybe I could find that rich young ruler who turned away sorrowful. You know, I think that's in chapter 18. He could have found some eyewitnesses. I don't know if everybody was still alive, but how did he know which eyewitnesses were accurate and which weren't? Jonathan?
Yeah, it just strikes me how sometimes we think of kind of being moved by the Holy Spirit as just doing whatever kind of God tells us. But this, it's very clear that this work of the Holy Spirit was very diligent, structured, going out and working, organizing, and that too is part of how God works and blesses.
And let me ask a question. Hopefully you don't think it's a trick question, but who was inspired in that process, Luke or the eyewitnesses who were sharing their testimony?
Both.
We don't think about, Luke wrote it. No. They all wrote it, didn't they? And they said, well, it happened like this. Oh, yes, it's perfectly clear to me. It may have happened 30 years ago, writing in the 60s AD. It may have happened 30 years ago. It's as if it happened yesterday. The Spirit of God energizes her mind as she shares this testimony with Luke, energizes his mind as he shares the story, maybe of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that he brought to Jesus. It's really kind of an amazing picture of the Spirit working in a very broad way, right, to bring the Word of God. So let's go back again to 2 Peter and just read verse 21 again of chapter 1. Gary, if you have that, 2 Peter 1:21, because whether he's giving word-for-word account that's written down, putting his word in the prophet's mouth, or guiding the mind of the prophet and of the eyewitness who's giving the testimony, this text relates to that whole process. And how does it read in 2 Peter 1:21?
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we classify those holy men and women who gave the eyewitness accounts as part of that process, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're all, what do they all have in common?
Inspired.
They're all inspired by the Spirit to give this reliable testimony. Thank God we wouldn't know otherwise, right? Of what would come. I think of Dr. Luke. One of the important narratives that Dr. Luke includes is the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary, where she says, with God nothing, you know, how can this be? And the angel says, you know, with God nothing will be is impossible. We wouldn't know that without Dr. Luke. I don't know who he talked to. Is it possible that there were some gaps that were given to him by divine revelation in a vision or a dream? Is that possible?
Yes.
Sure it's possible. You know, you go on and you say, what else is there in Luke? Isn't it the shepherds and glory to God in the highest? We wouldn't even know about that unless the Holy Spirit had guided him. Did he talk to one of the shepherds? Were they still alive? That, you know, maybe a young shepherd boy? I want to hear that story when we get to the kingdom of heaven. But it's exciting to see how the Holy Spirit works in every process. One last text, 1 Corinthians 2. This is on the theme of the Holy Spirit and the process of inspiration. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12. And let's see who has that. Yes, Alex, would you read, starting in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
So, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm reading all these texts. How important is the Holy Spirit in the process of revelation and inspiration?
Vital.
Essential. By the way, Jesus, you know, the Bible says don't believe every spirit, but test them, you know. We're going to come back to that in a moment, because the key thing about the true Holy Spirit of God is always pointing to
Jesus.
Always pointing to Jesus. People want to come and say, can I talk with my dead grandmother? Well, first of all, that's a lie and a deception, because the Bible teaches that the dead don't know anything, they're sleeping. Amen. But that spirit that's talking is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Always pointing to Jesus. But what's exciting here, let me pause for a moment before we talk about truth that the Spirit leads us to. Is there any kind of breakthrough for you just in reading those texts, or is there a reminder for you of going, wow, that's really important, I need to remember that when I come to Scripture?
Well, yeah, we have we see through the Bible so many different authors, so many different time periods throughout the length of the Bible, and in all of the piece of literature we find unity throughout a piece of history like that. Through the Bible you have unity through all these different time periods, different authors, and it's just amazing to see how God orchestrated that through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And they write, some of them as shepherds, some of them as government officials.
True.
And some may write better than others, right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because it's not always dictated to them, is it? They're writing in their own words, but the Spirit's guiding them. Jamie?
I think to tag along with what Alex said is he also uses who is willing and the talents that God has given them. Like Dr. Luke was very methodical, where he was willing to work with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used those talents to give us revelation that we would not otherwise have.
Yeah. It's amazing when he's writing, you must think, well, medical school was easy compared to this. You know? but I mean, did he have any idea that he was writing something that would impact generations, millennia of followers of Jesus? Do you think he had any idea?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he maybe had a little idea, because something supernatural was going on, right? Mm-hmm. He sensed the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is a perfect account, Theophilus. Like, this is important. But I don't think he understood we'd be studying it today, perhaps. Not that significant, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to go off what Jamie said, because, you know, you think about Bible writers. I mean, you have Paul, who was very trained. He was a scholar,
sure,
right? But then you have Peter and other guys that had no education. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were fishermen, and yet God used them. They were willing. Yeah. And God, the Holy Spirit, carried them along, used them both to create this beautiful, I mean, the Word of God. And so it just tells me that God can use us, regardless of what your background is, regardless of how much education you have. Yes. You know, God can use us if we're willing to be used.
I love that little text at the end of 2 Peter where Peter says there's something Paul writes some things that are difficult
to understand. That's right.
He might have put, especially for a fisherman, you know. But maybe some of us go, oh, I'm with you, Peter. Some of that's pretty hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and he says the unlearned twist for their own destruction. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, mm-hmm. but there's this awareness that same Peter says it's not private. This is not private interpretation. They're speaking as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. What that's going to teach us in this series of studies, and I'm so glad we're doing this, and I'm glad you're part of our series, is that we're going to see how the Holy Spirit will be our teacher as we come to Scripture.
Amen.
That's so exciting, too. Well, let's talk about the Holy Spirit and the truthfulness of Scripture. Three texts I want to look at. Psalm 119, verse 160. That's the longest Scripture song in the Bible. Verse 160, and then we'll look at two texts in the book of John. Now, this is so important. It comes back to something, Brittany, you talked about earlier, that we can really depend upon the Scripture. It's not just someone's opinion. Mm-hmm. Psalm 119, who has that would read it for us? Joshua, verse 160.
The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever.
The entirety of your word.
Amen.
Anyone have another translation? Does it use a different word?
Yeah, that's.
Daisy, what does your Bible say?
The New Living Translation says, the very essence of your words is truth.
The very essence, the entirety. It's both of those that captures it, doesn't it? The essence, but all of it. All of it is truth.
Amen.
How does that happen? John 17 and verse 17. We know the Holy Spirit's going to come in here somewhere, right? John 17 and verse 17, because the Holy Spirit has a special mission to tell us the truth about God and about God's plan. Gary, John 17 and verse 17.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And go back just a little bit. These are both sayings of Jesus to John 14. Mm. Jason, do you have that for us? Verses 15 through 17. This is all right there in the upper room and then the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. So these are all words of Jesus. What does it say in John 14, verses 15 through 17?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Why do you think he's called the Spirit of truth, Jonathan?
I think it's because, like you said earlier, it's not of private interpretation. I mean, the Spirit is not something that just comes to you and you feel like, oh, well, I feel this way, so I should go that way. He is truth. I mean, truth stands up to investigation. Truth you can go and compare with someone else and say, okay, this is what I'm... Do you see it similarly? Does that stand up? Can we find out whether or not this is really right? And if it is of the Spirit, it will stand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not just my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. The Spirit... Anybody else? Why do you think he's called the Spirit of truth?
I like that Christ has called, instead of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Ah.
And how can anyone call themselves the truth? Of myself, I am the truth. And so in a way, as what Jonathan was saying and as what Stephanie was saying, there's something about truth that is tied intimately with who God is. And if God never changes, then the Spirit's testifying to that reality that there's some truth in the universe that is God that never changes. And we can we can live our lives in relation to that truth and know that we're going in a right direction that is sure, that has a foundation that won't change. And it's just kind of beautiful that the Spirit is putting back to Christ, who is the truth, who is God, and God is true.
Amen. Can I lie? It's very interesting that you mentioned that Jesus says, I am the truth. Because in another passage we'll read in this series, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? But back to the fact that it's not just subjectivism, but there is absolute truth that's revealed to us. And the Holy Spirit says, He is the Spirit of truth.
Amen. Amen.
Daisy.
Yeah, I was just going to add to it that there's only one truth. There can be multiple truths or several other kinds of truth. There's only one. So that same Spirit that reveals a message to all these different disciples is the same kind of truth. So you can't, there's no variation. Yeah. It's just that one.
One Bible teacher put it this way, truth is of necessity exclusive. Yeah. It excludes all error.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about the way to heaven, the way to salvation, there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. It excludes it. Said, well, I think maybe I could go this way. Truth excludes that. But the Holy Spirit has a special mission to bring truth.
Amen.
Truth about
God,
truth about Jesus, truth about how to live.
Yes.
Kyle?
Yeah, and the other thing that's beautiful is that Jesus promises to give us that Spirit.
Yeah.
So we don't have to wonder if we can have it. He says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper.
Amen.
And where's the verse? I'm trying to remember. Okay.
We'll help you.
It will guide you into all truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it will guide. So we know that that's a promise, that if we want to be guided into truth, the Holy Spirit will be given to
us. He will guide you into all truth and show you things to come, right?
Right, right.
Where's that found? Anybody remember?
It was a different one.
Before we go on, where's that found? He will guide you. Isn't it right there in that same passage?
I was trying to find it, but...
Yeah, well, we're going to pause and find it. Jason, where is it?
John 16:13.
It's the same verse. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's actually the second half of a verse we're about to read.
Oh, okay.
Which talks about the Holy Spirit as teacher. Yeah. Jason sees you there. Go ahead and read the whole verse 13. I was going to just have you read the first half of it, but let's see what it says.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come.
So this is addressing the next step beyond the fact that He's sharing truth, and that is that He wants to be our
guide.
Our guide or our teacher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. Wants to be our teacher. Brittany, how does that read in your Bible?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Wow. Yep, this is saying spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit is helping you.
Yes.
Back to Jason, what you said earlier, even to understand the past.
Right.
As well as what's happening in the present and, praise God, a revelation of what's going to happen in the future. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to share, because one of the things about Hope Sabbath School is that we want to apply the Word to our lives. So I'd like you to think about a time when the Holy Spirit brought an important truth to you. I think He's teaching me something important here. I certainly have a story too, because if we're reading the Bible, and we should certainly pray before we read that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher or our guide, He's going to speak truth to us.
Amen.
Sometimes it may challenge... Maybe not doctrine, that's one of the functions, but it may instruction in righteousness. It may challenge how we're living, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about a time to share. Joshua.
Yes, there was a time a few years ago when a friend of mine and I, we were sitting in my basement and we were discussing the Bible. And eventually the topic of tithing came up. Now, at this point in time in my life, I was tithing. I was giving 10% of my income to God. And I realized that years before, for a long period of time in my life, I've been working since I was essentially 10 years old, on and off, there was a long period of time when I wasn't tithing. And the Lord brought such conviction to my heart that I said, you know, I have been stealing from God, and I owe him the money from my past as well. And so I tried to calculate in my mind how much I had made over those years, and I essentially paid back tithe to the church. And it just hit me that hard. And so I wouldn't expect someone else to feel the same conviction at the same time, but that's what the Lord had put on my heart.
So he brought a conviction to you. It's interesting you say that, because a lady was watching one of our programs and sent an email saying, please send me some offering envelopes, which includes a tithe. I want to stop stealing from God.
Wow.
Wow, she gave him a conviction. That's a God. That is the Holy Spirit too, isn't it?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Someone else, a time when God just brought some teaching to you from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit that really impacted your life. Anybody? Yes, Jamie?
Right now, I'm struggling a little bit with your human limitations. So oftentimes when we're in a situation, we start to view things through our human perspective, our human desires, our human expectations. But God has been convicting me lately not to trust my feelings and not to trust even what I'm seeing, but to trust His Word. And I'm not going to go into the
details,
but it's been very comforting for me.
Wow. So. All right. Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it touches areas that are kind of painful, and so I'm not sure I'll go into the whole details, but certainly there was a time where a bunch of people around me were encouraging me in a certain direction and giving me counsel about a specific choice in my life, and it was just very clear that it wasn't until I said, no, wait, let me slow down and re-examine my beliefs and what I was hearing and go back to Scripture, that I realized, like, wow, Scripture is pretty clear, and I need to really stop and slow down and not make these choices or drift into these choices that I thought were godly. They seemed like it. Mm-hmm. So
stop and not just say, well, what's my opinion, but what's the Holy Spirit saying in the Word?
Yes. Right.
All right, we got several hands. It's good. If we're reading the Bible and we're praying for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, He is going to speak to us. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've oftentimes told people, let the Holy Spirit tell you. He will be much more direct with you than I would ever dare to be, or maybe even than I ever should be. Let the Holy Spirit bring a conviction. Several hands on the front here. Brittany.
Yes, I was a student missionary in the Philippines for a year, and while I was there, near the middle of my time, I had to make a decision if I was going to stay a second year or if I was going to return back home and go to school again. And every time I was out in the village with the people, I saw the great need, and in my heart, I wanted to stay. And I kept thinking, I'm supposed to stay. There's so much need here. This is where God needs me to be. But one day I was just reading in my Bible and I had been praying about it for a while. God, just show me. Where do you want me to be this next year? And I read the story of the demon-possessed man and how after Jesus healed him, how he said, you go home and tell your family and friends everything that God has done for you. Mm-hmm. And I realized...
That could just be a coincidence,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Except for what?
I've been
praying. She was praying, right? For this Spirit to be her teacher. Mm-hmm. So then you said, wait a minute, before I ignore that, Jonathan, let me just think about what's being said here.
And God just laid that burden on my heart and made it very clear, that's me speaking to you in your situation right now. I want you to go home and share. And at first I was hesitant and resistant to it. I was saying, no, that's not what I want to do. But then I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, then make that more clear. And I found out that a girl had applied to be a student missionary and take my position for the next year. And that was extra confirmation that I already have someone who's going to stay here and continue the work. Amen. You're supposed to go home.
Is that powerful?
Yeah.
And you know, neither of those was a bad choice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But one of them was the Spirit's leading. Mm-hmm. Just like, was it really bad for Paul wanted to go up into Asia and the Spirit of God restrained him? Mm-hmm. And then he had a vision that night from someone over in Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Yeah. God had something else in mind. It wouldn't have been necessarily bad, but it wasn't the Spirit's leading. Daisy.
Yeah, this is
kind of interesting for me. But at church, this was back when I was a little bit younger, and I was still struggling with my Christian life. And listening to the sermon, I remember there are certain speakers who, when they speak, it's easier for me to listen, and I can actually hear what you're saying. But there was this particular preacher that I just couldn't stand his voice. It just kind of irritated me, and I couldn't really focus when he was preaching. It's like his style of preaching just didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And when I remember when I walked into church and I realized he was preaching, I was like, oh boy, let me walk out. But then I had this conviction that no, yes, he may have a rough way of speaking, or his style may be not what you like, but just sit down and listen. And I decided to listen. And then that day, I actually got a message that hit my heart, a message that I really needed to hear. So that, I think it was just the Spirit that was telling me, yes, you know, sometimes God uses certain people to speak. They may not be perfect, or they may not appear the way we want to see them, but God can still use them to reach out to us if we're willing to allow the Spirit to speak to us.
What do you think?
Wow.
Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. By the way, we're hearing something that we'll come to later in this series, and I'm so glad you're with us, this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, because prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit are inextricably linked together, Amen. Just as prayer and, or excuse me, the Holy Spirit and
the Word
of God. And when we think about being spiritually alive, we think Bible and prayer, but we need to think Bible, prayer, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit brought the Word, will help us to understand it. Anyone else where conviction came by the Spirit regarding some truthfulness of the Word? Tricia Lee.
I believe that God cares about every aspect of our lives. Amen. And I'm so glad He doesn't leave us to just figure things out on our own. I was in a relationship for 3 years with someone in the church, and it was complete confusion and chaos. And it was difficult because this was somebody that held an office in church and was a spiritual person and would share spiritual messages and things and information with me and others. And it was very confusing because for me, I felt as though, well, I don't know if what this person is saying is so. And I remember just the scripture that God is not the author of confusion. And that brought me back to the Word. And I had to just say, even though I am in a relationship with this person and they have that influence in your life and you're sharing, you're close together, what do I know about who God is and the way He has revealed His love in the Word? And when I went back to the Word of God, it was just so clear that through His Spirit, He was showing me, this is not my love. This is not how I would choose to love you. And it was what I needed to walk away from 3 years. And it was difficult because other people who were also in like the church community didn't understand, because to them, this is perfect. But I realized that God did not leave me in a confusing place. And even though it's easy to feel as though, I know, at one point I even prayed, God, help me to, you know, help me to love this person and to get through this confusion. But I just kept coming back to God is not the author of confusion. And through like the power of the Holy Spirit, He showed me in His Word that this was not something that He had in store for my life. And I was able to leave that relationship, and everything is fine now. But there are some things that you're not going to find in scripture where God says, this is the person, this is not the person. But through His Holy Spirit, He will give you the principles you need, and you do not have to walk in darkness. Amen. And that was truth for me that really helped me just to walk away from something that wasn't good for me.
Amen.
Powerful. Amen. And it brings us to the last section of our study, and that is that the Holy Spirit does not contradict the scripture. The Holy Spirit, who is guiding us, will point us back to a passage of scripture. Sometimes it may seem kind of remote, you know, like, because you're not the demoniac, right? But there is the message to a changed man, and you perhaps had been changed during your time there in the Philippines, to a changed man set free by the power of Jesus, to go back to your home and tell your people what God had done for you. So the Spirit can guide in some remarkable ways, but He points us to Scripture. So let's look at a couple of important references here. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, John 14 and verse 26. We just read John 16 verses 13 and 14. John 14, 26. And Nicole, would you read that for us, please?
Sure, I'm reading from the New International Version, and John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you."
Do you see a correlation? The Holy Spirit's our teacher, And he's going to teach us all things. Mm-hmm. Tertially, you said some things are not like spelled out word for word in the Bible, what your, you know, friend's name should be or the particular job and city you should be living in. Mm-hmm. But it says while he's teaching you, he's also doing what?
Reminding
you of what Jesus has revealed.
Amen. Amen.
So imagine someone comes to you and says, well, the Spirit's impressed me to do this. And you know that it's in direct contradiction with what the Scripture teaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What are we going to do there? How do we respond to that? We love this friend.
Yes.
And yet, you know, let me give you a case in point. The Spirit has impressed me to leave my husband and move in with the man next door.
Mm-hmm.
True story.
Mm.
Wait. What's the problem here? And how do we respond to that? Because what we just read is the Spirit will guide us, but he'll remind us of the truth that Jesus has taught. Mm-hmm. So how do we deal with that? Brittany, what would you say to a friend if she said, you know, things aren't really going well at home here. The guy next door, he's single. He's really, you know, cute. And the Spirit just impressed me it's time to leave and move next door.
I would point him back to the Scriptures. And Jesus says, I'm the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And then let's see what God says about relationships, about marriage commitment. And also Isaiah says to the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, there's no, you know, truth in them.
But I really feel your friend says that this is the right thing to do.
You can't do anything on that.
Yeah? What are you going to say? Give me a scripture. I really feel this is the right thing to do. Daisy?
I would say we cannot trust our feelings at all.
Exactly.
We have to rely wholly on the Word of God, what the Bible says. In addition to what we're feeling, does he contradict what the... Because God cannot go back on his word. If he says marriage is holy and you cannot just abandon, you cannot forsake your vows, and you're getting that impression, then it's not of God. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of spirit.
Yeah. So isn't there a text that says there's a way that seems right?
To a man.
Proverbs, right?
Yeah.
But the end thereof is...
Destruction.
Destruction or death. So the fact that I feel like, or what if it, but the Spirit told me, Jonathan, that that was what I should do.
Yeah, I always find the text in 2 Thessalonians, verses 9 and 10, helpful as they point us back to the need to, I mean, yes, it can look like the Holy Spirit. It can be, you can have powerful signs, but we always have to come back and examine our own heart and say, okay, what in me is allowing me to be drawn this way? And do I really desire the truth? I'll go ahead and read from the
New International. Yeah, please, go ahead and read that. Give us the reference again.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. And it says, the coming of the lawless one. So it's this one that's against Scripture, or it's against following God's law. The lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So it wasn't just because they didn't figure things out, because they didn't whatever, it's because there's something in their heart that is not truly in love with the truth, and thus they are able to be drawn away by these false signs.
Now, Brittany, I think you quoted, or someone quoted, to the law and to the testimony. That's found in Isaiah. Could you read that for us?
Sure.
Chapter 8 and verse 20. And then someone else look up 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 21. These are the two texts we're going to have to close our study with today. These are principles, because in love we need to say to that friend, but here are some words from Scripture. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 8 and verse 20 says,
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Mm-hmm. I think the context there is about talking to the dead. But it applies to every area of life, right?
Yes.
And do you have 1 Thessalonians 5?
Yes.
Jamie, verses 19 through 21.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to add that the scripture also reminds us that we are fighting against spiritual powers of darkness. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 reminds us to test everything. So
verses 19 through 21.
Yes. The New Living Translation says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil."
Hold on to what's good. And how do I know what's good?
Word of God.
I come back to the Word. And can I pray a simple prayer? God, I'm a bit confused here. Please show me in your Word.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, as He revealed to Paul, as He revealed through all the Bible, is not going to say something today that's different from what He said before. Mm-hmm. So we know that if the Bible says it, then it's still true today, and we can follow it.
A young lady came to me one time. I said, "I don't need the Bible. I have the Spirit." Mm. Response? It's true. I don't need the Bible. I have the Spirit. Mm. And the answer?
Not a private interpretation.
It's not private interpretation.
Yeah.
The true Spirit
inspired the Bible.
Not only inspired the Bible, but will lead you to the Bible. Will be your teacher, your guide. Will help you to understand it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you may be fully equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God, the Spirit of God go together. And in our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, we will discover how important the Bible is as the Spirit guides us. And I just want to challenge you to be a woman, a man of God, who listens to the Word with a prayer in your heart. Holy Spirit, guide me to your truth. Point me to Jesus. Let me be all you want me to be as I follow your leading. Let's pray we can be those kind of people even today. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come to reveal your truth, to point us to Jesus, even to bring conviction that will draw us to salvation. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help us to hear as you speak to us and to follow wherever you lead. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. It's going to be an amazing series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. And it's not just going to bless your life, but God wants to use you, just as Brittany said, go back to your people. Tell them what the Lord has done. Tell them how the Lord is leading in your life and how He wants to lead them into truth, to lead them to Jesus and to salvation. Go out, make a difference to the lives of those around you.